14? That's the first time I've heard one from 10 leave 14. You mean 9, or else you haven't told me yet all the names of your party. Well, of course you haven't seen Oin and Gloin yet, and bless me, here they are. I hope you'll forgive them for bothering you. Oh, let 'em all come. Hurry up. Come along, you two, and sit down. But look here, Gandalf. Even now we've only got yourself and 10 dwarves and the hobbit that was lost. That only makes 11, plus one mislaid, and not 14, unless wizards count differently to other people. But now, please, get on with the tale. Beorn did not show it more than he could help, but really, he had begun to get very interested. You see, in the old days, he had known the very part of the mountains that Gandalf was describing. He nodded and he growled when he heard of the hobbits' reappearance and of their scramble down the stone slide and of the wolfring in the woods. When Gandalf came to their climbing into trees with the wolves all underneath, he got up and strode about and muttered,
"I wish I had been there. I would have given them more than fireworks."
"Well," said Gandalf, very glad to see that his tale was making a good impression,
"I did the best I could. There we were with the wolves going mad underneath us and the forest beginning to blaze in places when the goblins came down from the hills and discovered us. They yelled with delight and sang songs making fun of us. 15 birds in 5 fir trees."
"Good heavens!" growled Beorn. "Don't pretend that goblins can't count. They can. 12 isn't 15, and they know it."
"And so do I. There were Bifur and Bofur as well. I haven't ventured to introduce them before, and here they are."
In came Bifur and Bofur.
"And me,"
gasped Bomber, puffing up behind. He was fat, and also angry at being left to last. He refused to wait 5 minutes, and followed immediately after the other two.
"Well, now there are 15 of you, and since goblins can count, I suppose that is all that there were up the trees. Now perhaps we can finish this story without any more interruptions."
Mr. Baggins saw then how clever Gandalf had been. The interruptions had really made Beorn more interested in the story, and the story had kept him from sending the dwarves off at once like suspicious beggars. He never invited people into his house, if he could help it. He had very few friends, and they lived a good way away, and he never invited more than a couple of these to his house at a time. Now he had got 15 strangers sitting in his porch. By the time the wizard had finished his tale, and had told of the eagle's rescue, and of how they had all been brought to the carrack, the sun had fallen behind the peaks of the misty mountains, and the shadows were long in Beorn's garden.
"A very good tale," said he. "The best I've heard for a long while. If all beggars could tell such a good one, they might find me kinder. You may be making it all up, of course, but you deserve a supper for the story all the same. Let's have something to eat."
"Yes, please," they all said together. "Thank you very much."
This ends Disc 4.